Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us this morning, as he always does whenever we ask him, which is something I greatly appreciate, is Isaac Mangena. He's the Senior Media Relations Manager at City Power. Isaac, good morning to you. How are you doing?
I'm good, Howard. How are you? And good morning to the listeners.
You know what, Isaac? You cannot be good. With load shedding, you have to be on your toes 24/7, I've got no doubt. So the fact that you could even say that you're good, I appreciate, but you can't be.
I have to fake it.
Fake it till you make it. Absolutely right. All right. So Isaac, yesterday, a friend of mine sent me something about City Power and Eskom, and I said, nah, can't be. You know, I get sent so much fake news every day. I said, it can't be true. And then when I looked into it, I realized that there is something to the story. In some of our discussions, I could already start to see the frustration that City Power is having with Eskom. And I saw that on the supply side. I saw that when you spoke about the fact that City Power, that Eskom is a supplier to City Power, and City Power really has only limited amount of options. Then we saw it with the Kelvin Power Station, where there was this conflict, and now we're seeing it again. What is going on between the relationship between Eskom and City Power?
Okay, look, City Power, as you rightfully pointed out, is a customer to Eskom.
Mm-hmm.
You would be a customer to somebody else, and if the service is not really what you are paying for, you will basically demand some form of accountability from that customer, from that person who's providing the service. So we have customers. We are acting on behalf of customers. We've got people that are inconvenienced by Eskom's issues, but Eskom does not really kind of like recognize the residents of the city of Johannesburg's effort in basically trying to, you know, make sure that they make plans for the times when we've got load shedding. I'll give you an example. We get 90% of our electricity from Eskom. Last year alone, we paid Eskom 12 billion rand for that electricity as the residents of the city of Johannesburg through City Power. So the little that Eskom can do is to basically recognize that financial contribution that we are making to Eskom to ensure that it survives. That is one. Secondly, as the people of the city of Johannesburg through City Power, we decided to look for alternatives to cut this over-dependence on Eskom by going out to get independent power producers like Kelvin Power Station. We got Kelvin Power Station. We managed to basically sign a deal for about between 2 and 3 years, and they are giving us about 230 megawatts extra capacity that we need.
Mm.
That capacity which will basically be able to shield our residents from at least stage one and stage two.
Right.
We took that technical report, we wrote to Eskom to say the residents of the city of Johannesburg are able to pay for this with the independent power producers, so remove us from your load shedding schedule. Eskom refused. And so that's why we have returned to them to tell them that we are going to take this to the regulator and to the court so that we are able to deal with this issue once and for all. The second issue was basically around some of our customers not able to come back after load shedding, after 2 hours of load shedding. We've seen it in Windsor, we've seen it in areas like Lenasia, even Rambeck, Johannesburg North Riding and so forth.
Mm.
So those areas, the problem with them is that they've got Eskom. They are switched on. Almost 80% of those transformers in those substations are switched on and off by Eskom because of those border suburbs, border towns, if you can call them.
Mm.
So they're still controlled from the side of Eskom. So Eskom had a go slow by its technicians, operators. So whenever there is a load shedding and it's supposed to come back in two hours or 2 hours, 30 minutes, they will not bother to even drive to the substation and ensure that they switch us on, back on, and then we can supply electricity to our customers. So most of the customers, for example, in Windsor, they were switched off yesterday at 2 o'clock. They were supposed to come back at 4. Eskom came back 5 hours later, and 10 minutes before they switch them off again for the second bout of that load shedding.
No.
So it's really frustrating even to us as City Power.
But is that incompetence, or is that almost spite? Because to some extent, if there's this conflict between Eskom and City Power, most of the customers don't know who to blame. I don't know who to blame. I can sometimes get so angry with City Power, but I don't know if it's a City Power thing or an Eskom thing.
Yeah, no, that's correct, because to the customers, electricity, they don't care where it comes from.
100%.
You know, but for us, that's why we are taking up this fight with Eskom on behalf of our customers, because we feel hard done by Eskom, and especially by it, things that they can easily do. I mean, when we have got an outage, when we have got load shedding in most of our areas, when we say it's coming back at after 2 hours or 2 hours, 30 minutes, we make sure that at least, even if we go beyond, it shouldn't be more than 30 minutes. So you asked about incompetence. I'll leave it to the listeners to make up their mind about that. But it's something that, but also remember, Eskom had many years of monopoly. They used to play in the space alone.
Yeah, it's a significant mind shift for them. And it's not easy. Yeah. Although Cape Town, interestingly enough, sorry, Isaac, in Cape Town, the city there has managed, sometimes we see it on the schedule that we're on stage three, but Cape Town is stage two. So they've somehow started to manage that, hopefully like City Power will be able to do.
Yeah, well, what Cape Town managed to do is that Cape Town still has some form of nuclear power that they are using. They still have diesel-powered generation that they are also using, which is what we actually launched last 2 weeks back in Mayfair. So that's something that we're going to do. But currently what we have with Kelvin is that Kelvin is a coal-powered generation. So it's not possible to, at short space of time, to basically just switch on the button and then it goes on and it ramps up to the required amount that Eskom will be needing at that moment. But Cape Town can, because of their diesel-powered generation that they're having, which is something that we are trying to invest in so that we are able to basically do that over and above the Kelvin power station that we're having. So Eskom, as you rightfully pointed out, it's a huge mind shift from being a monopoly and having other players around who are able to be. And also remember, it will get to a point where they will be financially, you know, affected, because we are taking money to independent power producers who are reliable in providing electricity instead of Eskom, which is not really that reliable. So I think they still hang on that, and it's really getting difficult for us and other residents of the city of Johannesburg.
So the next step is that you're taking them to the regulator, you're taking Eskom to the regulator to try and figure it out, how to ask them to rule on this.
Yeah, yesterday the CEO wrote them a letter to basically demand that they deal with this problem, this issue of this, the issue with their technicians. If there is a go slow, they need to resolve it, because us as customers are actually affected by that go slow. Our customers are affected by Eskom's go slow. So we wanted that to be addressed. In a press conference, Andre De Reiter said go slow is over, but I mean the residents of Windsor will disagree, because of even yesterday we still had those problems, and we're expecting those kind of problems even today. So we want them to basically commit that would basically come to an end. Yes, the second one is for us to basically speak to NERSA and basically the courts to say, these are the issues, these are the technical reports that we sent to Eskom, but Eskom, they didn't even acknowledge receiving the letter. So you can see even the attitude problem there. It's not even about whether we do indeed have that extra capacity. Tomorrow we'll be talking to Howard's electricity suppliers, and they will give us extra capacity. So when we tell Eskom that this is what we have and we're paying for it monthly, please remove us from this kind of stages. And then they refuse. It can't be right. And I'm sure even the regulator and the president, when they said they are opening up for the independent power producers to come on board, they didn't expect that Eskom should be the arbiter or someone in between to say yes or no, you can or you can't, you know, kind of a situation. So that is where we are currently with Eskom, unfortunately.
Absolutely astounding. But I think it's so important, this conversation and these types of conversations, because it just means that we can understand better what's going on. Unfortunately, it indicates just that it's actually even worse than we thought, because not only are Eskom unfortunately, have they let us down and maybe incompetent in the supply of electricity to meet all the demands, but they've also got a significant attitude problem, which only makes matters worse. I just want to ask you one quick question. A few people are asking, that sometimes they get confused as to which zone they're in. Is there a way to actually try and figure this out?
I think I picked your question from the listener before we started this conversation.
Yes.
I think we were talking about customers from...
He said that this customer said they're in Ethel, Ethel Gardens, and they don't know if they're in Zone 4 or Zone 9.
Sandringham and so forth. Mm. All right, so what happens is, and this is what load shedding does to our network.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have had outages, normal outages and fix, maybe a breakdown of a mini substation or something in those areas. So for us to ensure that the residents have got electricity, we will backfeed them so that we at least have got electricity while we are, you know, finding out how to resolve that burned out or damaged equipment. So by the time we want to come back and restore using that equipment, load shedding hit. So by backfeeding, it means we are moving you from the feeder board that you used to be on to another. So you may find that we have alternated between block 9 and block 4, which is where the customers that are complaining are. And now when there is load shedding, when we switch off that feeder board that is at block 9, actually belonging to block 4. And that's where the problem is. I got some calls from the residents in Sandringham and those areas who were complaining about this, and I've spoken to the chief operator so that at least we can resolve that, or at least if we know which areas are affected, we can notify the customers there. But what is not acceptable is when they are shared twice, one after the other, you know, at the same time.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, we are unfortunately out of time, but what I'm going to do is ask our listeners, if you are shared twice, let me know. Let us know at IFM, and then we'll chat to Isaac and we'll see how we can try and resolve that for you. 7:31.
Thanks so much.
Isaac, thank you as always for chatting to us. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.